The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Friday. 11th day of January 2013. The Dow's up 11, the S&P's down 1, the comp's down 2, gold's down 20, up 20 yesterday, down 20 today. It's quite the roller coaster. And crude oil off 61 cents a barrel. And up on the screen today, normally you would be looking at an hourly chart of the S&P 500 E-mini futures, but we had a big grain report that just came out a minute and a half ago. And this is the soybeans reacting to the grain report. Let's see, this candle opened at 13.62. And we've hit a high so far, 13.81.75. So we've moved about 20 cents in the beans. I have not seen the report. I have no idea what the forecast is. However, a 20-cent move in the soybeans is equivalent to a 20-point move in the S&P 500. I just wanted to flip over to this chart real quick just to kind of get an idea of what sort of reaction. Now, whatever the report had to say, the markets are reacting bullishly to the comments. We ran up, ran back down, ran right back up. So they'll continue to react off of that for a while, then they'll settle in. And perhaps Bert will be able to pop onto the show here in just a few minutes and maybe give us an idea of what was in the report Now let's go to the S&P 500 E-mini futures. This is an hourly chart that I have up on the screen. If you're visiting us for the first time, maybe you can only hear the sound of my voice, you don't know how to get to the screens, go to the homepage at cfrn.net. On the right-hand side, click the red, white, and blue button that says click here. Follow the instructions. You'll be able to see the charts. Today, the charts expire, so come Monday, everybody's got to register again. But the good news, on Monday, you'll register, and then you'll be good to go for 2 weeks. You won't have to register again for 10 trading days. You'll just be able to get that email, click the link, and pop right into the chart room. And part of being in here is not just so that you can see the charts. I mean, I think that's important in and of itself. But the fact that you're able to participate in the discussion as we talk about different markets, the S&P or gold or natural gas, you can see the chart we're looking at, and then you can type in your questions. Okay? Maybe you use a different type of trading methodology. Maybe you use a Keltner or a Bollinger, something that we don't use, and you might have some questions regarding what you're seeing on your own chart. We can bring it up. We can talk about it. Hopefully, we can give you some answers. Now, on the S&P 500 E-mini futures, fresh five-year high yesterday afternoon, we sent out a tweet that said, hey, guys, this thing's running, and it's headed for our weekly trading zone at 1471/1472. And in the tweet, I said, we anticipate resistance at that area. Now, for those who are new, weekly trading zones go out to the CFRN partners every Monday morning before the market opens. Okay. Once we issue the zones for the week, that's it. They're carved in stone. We don't change them. We don't add to them. We don't take away from them. They are what they are. It is, if you liken it to a football field, it's sort of our gridiron. It's the borders in which we play for the week. So we ran up, we hit this resistance yesterday at 71.72. So then I tweeted back out, when this hourly candle finished, I go, wow, not only did we find resistance, but it gave us a doji. We expect resistance, we get a doji after a nice run up. So you got beautiful context, a beautiful candlestick signal at a fixed resistance area, at a known fixed resistance area. Now you might say, well, how do you know that was a known fixed resistance area? Because you just said that was a fresh five-year high. Well, that's a whole nother story. We won't go into that right now. But if you take the free trial, you'll be able to see the weekly trading zones next week and put them to work in your trading. To do that, go to cfrn.net/apply. It's that easy. We don't need a credit card, just name, email, address. In fact, we'll let you download the platform today. We'll let you install the indicators today and get your data flowing today. You can play with the charts and the indicators all weekend. And then next week, show up in the live trading room at 9:30 a.m. on Monday. And you'll get to be in the trading room for five full days, Monday through Friday. So you get the trading room for 5 days, and you get the charts for the week. You get like 7 days for the price of five. That's pretty good. Oh, and did I mention the price is free? We have enough confidence in what we do and how we do it that we let you kick the tires for an entire week. You can lift the hood. You can look under the seats. It's okay. We don't have anything to hide. In fact, we want you to see everything we have to offer. We want to be incredibly transparent before you make a decision to become a CFRN partner, because it's just so much easier that way. Okay? We don't have to deal with you being all disgruntled down the road. Well, I thought this or I thought that. Oh, no, you didn't, because we're see-through. We do everything in our live trading room with both hands on top of the table, because we don't want to lure you in with, you know, promises of something that we can't deliver. We just tell you to come in and look, watch what we do. If it strikes a chord with you, if you like it, well, then let's hook up and be friends, hang out, partners, you know, live life together. If what we do doesn't strike a chord with you, no problem. Everybody, you know, different strokes for different folks. Is that how they say it? I think it was even a TV show. Anyway, even though you might not choose to become a partner and trade with us, you might still want to come hang out with us every day on the radio program. Listen to us talk about the markets, about politics, about life in general, about Herbalife, like we did yesterday. You never know what's going to come up on the show. And oftentimes, you, the listener, dictate what comes up on the show because you come into the chart room, you type into the chat box, hey, did you see this news or did you read this headline or what do you think about this appointment? And we're off and going, sometimes for a couple minutes, sometimes for a couple hours. You never know what you're going to get. This is the show of Indeterminate Link. And today, I can tell you it's going to be a short show, a little bitty tiny show, because I got to go to a meeting and I can't change it. And so I'm going to blow through this chart really quick and then let Michael pop in and do the recap of the live trading room as he does every day at this time. And then we'll go straight to David Williams at PageTrader.com and we'll chat with him. There'll be no Coach's Corner this afternoon with Robin Dane because I have to go to this meeting. We will be back on Monday and do the Coach's Corner on Monday. I'll put information out on the blog for you. For those of you who may be new to the show, there's 5 years worth of 6 years worth of blog posts out there. I just posted a week ago 473 charts. It's the year 2012 charts in review. You can see all of our weekly trading zones and trade setups from the past year delivered to your desktop in a beautiful slideshow presentation. Just go visit the blog. It's all right there for you. Go to the iTunes store, search under my name, Dwayne, D-E-W-A-Y-N-E, and at your fingertips will be all of our podcast. You can listen to the podcast from our website as well. Back to the doji. After the doji came in, now I was very comfortable just simply being short off the close of the doji. But when I'm sending out a tweet, I always like to put some kind of a cushion or padding in for those that are following the tweets, okay? And when I send out an alert to our partners, because I can think very quickly, if this thing starts to go awry, right? Let's say just after the close of the doji, I know I want to be short this move. But if maybe it doesn't play out the way I thought it might, I can react very quickly and I can scratch out of the trade, to borrow a term from Mike Reed. I can just scratch out, okay? Not a big deal. But then I have to transmit that fact to the partners, to people following us on the Twitter, and it gets complicated. So that's why I have to do it this way. So the tweet I sent out was 1468. I'd rather have been right here. Just short the close of this candle. In fact, 2 minutes before this thing closed, 3 minutes, I would have liked to have sent out a tweet that says, if we close with the doji, sell it. Sell it like you stole it. But I put in a little buffer, 68. Now watch what happened. I love this. We come down through 68. We were in the partner's workshop as this was unfolding last night. Every Thursday, we do a partner's workshop. Runs for a couple, 3 hours. Anyway, we were discussing the trade, the setup, why we put it out there, why it was important, how it was like a work of art, a thing of beauty, very special, blah, blah. It comes down through 68. We said the next logical place for it to go is the weekly trading zone, which represents support. So what did it do? It came down, not instantly. These are hourly candles, but it came right down to weekly trading zone. 1466, hit it to the tick. What did it do? It then bounced. Remember, this is resistance. This is support until broken. All right. So we get to 66. We bounce 2 points right back up to 68. Here's that old question again. People always say, hey, if that number was good for one trade, what if we go there again? Or again? The answer, isn't it almost always the same? Those of you that have been around this show for any length of time know that the answer is almost always yes. So, we come down, we bounce back to 68. So, from 68 to 66 is 2. Back to 68 is another 2. Back down to 66 is another 2. And then look what happens right here. If I can draw a straight line. Where does price come back to? Right back to 68. And this time it gets serious. This time it breaks through the fixed support. We don't expect it to hold forever. But in the workshop last night, I did say, remember, guys, that because we blew through this in one candle, there was no consolidation at this area. I said, we'll come back to this area for some consolidation. We came back for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours of consolidation. Now, some people go, well why is that? Why does it have to do that? I don't know. I just have noticed over a very long period of time that that's what it does. Life's short. I'm just happy I noticed that it does it. I don't have time to figure out why it does it or has to do it or whatever, however you might want to word that. Just the fact that I was observant enough to notice it, okay, I'm going to put that to use. And if it ever stops doing it, trust me, I'll notice pretty quick. And I'll notice whatever is happening, but this has been happening now for years, so I'm just going to keep expecting it until it no longer happens. Once we break through, finally, after the 8 hours, we break through support, what do we expect to happen next? Broken support will most likely become new resistance. We break through, we pull right back up, and we just back the car right into the garage there. 65, 66. Consolidating. Couple hours. And it looks like we're about ready to continue the downtrend. How will we know if we're continuing the downtrend? We could draw a trend line right across the bottom of those two candles. We could wait for a break of this trend line to signify. We could put on a trade that says we'll get short below this low. Or we could reduce the risk on the trade by simply getting short right here in the zone, putting our stop just up above the zone. Because guess what? If this isn't going to hold, if this zone is not going to hold as resistance, we could have a stop up here or way up here. But why? If it's not holding, it's not holding. We could be short right here, right now, with our stop just above the zone. Okay? Worst thing happens, we get stopped out, and we end up getting into a long trade back up to test the high. But for now, it looks like we're going lower. And so the zones, as you can see, support for all these hours across here. And that's how it plays out, day in and day out, week after week. Nothing magical. It's just the nature of the markets and how they work. So we invite you to come hang out with us, take advantage of the free trial. I said this show was going to be short. It won't be if I don't stop talking. Let me pop back over to the beans really quick. Really quick. There we go. Okay, so the low was 1351 and the high 1381. So we've had a 30-cent move in the beans off of that grain report. That's equivalent to 30 points in the S&P 500. Okay? That's a big move. That's how much money, Michael?
30 points? Isn't that 1250?
No, it's like 15, was it 15 grand? 1500? 1500.
Oh, yeah, 1500.
1500 bucks.
Yeah, you're right.
Per
right.
contract.
Per contract.
If you're one contract trader. Now, what did we do in the live trading room? How did we trade the grain report? We told everybody to go sit down. You don't want it. It's just like an FOMC. You don't want it. We don't. Now, let me say this. Some people specialize in trading news events. That's not our forte. It's not our thing. It's not what we do, and it's not what we teach people to do. What we teach people to do when there's a big news report coming out is we teach people to just go sit down and sit on your hands, okay, until the dust clears. And then you'll be able to find, you know, a nice normal trade, okay?
There is a way, with this big grain report, there is a way that you can take advantage of it, but we would not recommend doing it with futures. And that is, anybody trading futures, we said, just stay away. Just sit on your hands. Give it some time. You know, when I have the charts, I'll go through maybe 10 or 15 opportunities that could have happened.
A good other way is to call our friend Bert Schlichter at Daniel's Trading. He's also our broker. He's family. 866-928-3030. 3310. You'll talk to him or Leslie. They both have years of experience in the business. They can talk to you about options, about futures. And Bert can tell you exactly how you might have been able to take advantage of this move no matter what happened, just like Michael said. Toll free, 866-928-3310. That's it for me. I'm turning it over to Michael right now. He's going to do a recap of what happened this morning in the live trading room. We did something in the live trading room this morning for the very first time. I won't steal your thunder. It's all yours.
All right. All right. Thank you. Here we go. There is monitor 2, I believe, right? Yep. Okay. All right, I'm going to just get right into it here, so I'm going to start the recording right up, okay? If anybody has any questions, just type them in as I'm talking, and I'll answer the questions as I see them, okay? All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Friday, January 11th, 2013. Let's go over the results from the live trading room to start with. We were plus 1 on the Russell, plus 10 on gold, plus 1 on oil, and plus 11 on the yen. The yen is the thing that that we did for the very first time today. All right. If you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for our free trial. In our free trial, you get 5 days to trade with us, to sit in our live trading room. You get access to everything we have except the partners meeting. You get access to everything we have. You can see our weekly trading zones. You can ask us questions. You can schedule time to talk with us one-on-one. You can download our charting platform. You can download our indicators. I will even send you my layout so that you have exactly what I have. All that for just giving us your name and email address. And you know, you do that at cfrn.net/apply. Okay. Partners, we had a good partners meeting last night. I thought it was pretty good anyway. Even though it was almost 3 hours long, it was a good meeting. There was a lot of information again, as there always is. And I think Brad is going to go through and annotate different times where we switched gears and did different things and showed different things, and that would be great. Thanks, Brad. And the soybeans. I'll come back to them. All right, I want to start at the left and work my way across and end over here on the yen. Okay. Let me just go through the trades that we did this morning. There was some things that we did that were straight out of the partners meeting last night. But the crude oil, we started out on crude with a loss right here. We got stopped out to the tick on this first trade we took. Now, what we were looking for was to pull back up to the BBC. Let me move these arrows out of the way. We're pulling back up to the BBC after the bearish cross. Here, I'll put my chart, my little picture up here again for you guys. The same rules every single day, okay? It's the same thing day after day after day after day. Bearish cross, pull back up, test of the BBC, test of the BBC, down close. We had some bearish divergence, but we had blue on the cycle, so we needed to close below the trend line, okay? We don't have that on this chart. We needed to close below the trend line. I did short the close down below the trend line right here with an 8-tick stop. 8 ticks happens to be right here at the high of this bar. It stopped me out to the tick, and then it went down, you know, at least 10 ticks profit. But, you know, it is what it is. The next trade opportunity, there was one right in here, and there was another one right in here. I missed both of those. I believe there was probably more than that as well. Let's just look at it. Yeah, there was another one right here. Yeah, that was pretty much it there. There was another one over here once it started to move down. Now let's look at it again. Okay, step one was the bearish cross. Step two was the space. Step three is a pullback to the BBC. In this case right here, it had too much momentum to pull all the way back to the BBC. So you can draw a trend line and take the close down below that trend line, which I did do right here. I shorted right here, and I took profit right here. That got me back to break even on the crude oil, I believe. And we did have the bearish divergence down here on the bottom. Okay, but that got me back to break even on the crude. And the thing really started to fall apart after that. I was saying that when I was in the trade. I was saying that I thought it was the low of the day was right down here. All right, and I thought if we broke through the low of the day, we're going to see a big move down. And the big move did happen. I missed this spot over here. And then it turned around, started to come back up. I got long in here. Again, looking at the other side of this picture. Bullish cross. A little space in here. So they'll pull away from the BBC. Pull back to the BBC with an up close with bullish divergence. I got long. And I moved my stop up to break even. And I actually break even plus a couple of ticks. And I got stopped out at break even plus a couple of ticks right over here. And it made that nice move up. There were a couple more opportunities you can see in here on the way up and on the way down. That was crude oil this morning. We ended crude plus one tick on the morning. Okay? Plus one tick on the crude. Now, the Russell. Let's take a look at the Russell. All right. I took just one trade on the Russell. The Russell opened up this morning. All the indexes actually opened up really choppy this morning. Very, very choppy. So I wasn't even looking at the indexes. I actually had other charts covering all of my stock index futures. You know, all the ones like the Russell, the YM, the NQ, the ES. I had other charts covering those, so I wasn't even looking at them. But when the Russell did start to move, there was an opportunity to short it right here. We didn't see that because it was covered up, but we did see this one over here. Okay? You could have shorted the same thing. If you look back at my picture, you have your bearish cross. It attempted to pull back to the BBC, but there was too much momentum for it to go all the way back. So in that case, you draw a trend line. You take a close down below the trend line. When you have divergence down here, you anticipate the green line is going to work its way down into the cycle. So there was an opportunity to short right in there, and again right in here. When it changed directions and it went long, we got the bullish cross, the space, the bullish divergence, the pullback to the BBC with the up close. I got long in here. And I had moved my stop to plus a tick. Now, right in here, I wasn't real confident about this trade because the ES at the time was going right into the weekly trading zone. This did give me five ticks at one point. All right, this bar closed up above the MA1, and that was a good time to move my stop to break even, but I was actually quicker than that, moving my stop to break even, because at the time, the ES was going right into a weekly trading zone. I don't normally trade the other indexes. If the ES is going into a zone, I'm not going to trade the other indexes because it normally works out to be pretty choppy. And you can see it did get rejected from that level, as the ES did, I believe. And that was it. That was all I did on the Russell this morning. We ended plus one tick on the Russell. Okay. Gold. Now, the gold is a good one because last night in the partners meeting, I think this might have happened around, you know, pretty close to midnight after I think it might have even happened after I shut the recording off. I had discussed the MA1 and the importance of the MA1. And this morning in gold was a perfect example of it. Let me just move these arrows out of the way. Okay, you see we had the bearish cross. I mean, if I bring my picture back up, it's the same thing again and again and again and again and again. Regardless of what market you're on, it's the same exact thing. You get your bearish cross, your pullback to the BBC, your divergence. It didn't had too much momentum to pull all the way back to the BBC, so we took a down close below this trend line that I drew. And we entered there. Now, we got out of this trade. Well, we got out of this trade over here. I believe we got out of this trade at break-even. But what we were looking for was the green line to work its way down into the cycle. And once it started going, I mean, you can see right here, it just went. It did all this from 938 to 939. All this was 1 minute from here to here. Okay. Money-wise, right here, from this entry to right here, that's $440, I think, is what we came up with per contract. So at 938, 939, you know, 9 minutes into the day, you could have been done for the day right there. You know, I could have easily been done for the day. We stuck it out, and we kept trading. We missed a few opportunities in here, as you can see, but the gold was bouncing around so fast in here, it was hard to trade. That's why I didn't mark things up in here. I did mark them up over here where it was tradable, but I didn't take any of these trades, and I missed all this really fast stuff right in here. But from right here at 945 all the way over to here, 9:46. All those bars were in 1 minute. Okay. Pretty hard to get involved in that. The next trade that I took on gold was over here. All right. It had slowed down a little bit. You see 9:55, 9:56. You only got about five or six bars in there. And this one right here, it was moving too fast for me to actually draw the trend line, but I told everybody what was going on. I said a down close on the current bar is a spot to get short on the gold. And we had the bearish divergence down on the bottom. Okay, a down close. I shorted. I took profit. Over here, we didn't have an opportunity to do anything right in there. And then it changed directions, and there was more opportunity here on the long side. Okay, the same stuff. If you look at that picture, it's just the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Bullish cross, pull back to the BBC, bullish divergence, you get into the market. All right. I can go through all of these trades, but they're all the same. It's all the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Okay, there was a ton of opportunity in here this morning on the gold. Look at all this right here. Ton of opportunity. You could have gotten in any one of these right here and ridden it down here, ridden it down here, ridden it down here, ridden it down here. And then when it changed directions right here for the ride up, it's just a little flick of the mouse right here that I'm doing, but money-wise, you would have been getting long right here. Let me draw a trend line for you. Here's your trend line. Okay. You would have been getting long right in here. Or let's just say you wait until you get the bullish cross. Okay, just to be there. You would have been getting long right in here. 55.4 up to this high right here is 56.7. That's $130 a contract right there. And that took about, 20 seconds. So if you have 10 contracts on, that's, $1,300 right there. If you have two contracts on, that's $260. $260 is about it's pretty close to the national average of what Americans earn per day. It's pretty close to that, I think. And you could have done it right here with two contracts in, 1202.38 to 1202.59. You could have done it right there in 21 seconds. It is what it is, though, guys. It happens over and over and over and over and over again. All right, I'm going to get off gold now. I wanted to show that big move on the gold right after it did exactly what we went over in the partners meeting last night. Okay, I didn't trade the NQ at all today. I didn't trade the ES. I didn't trade the YM. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going over the stuff on here. There were opportunities. It started off very choppy, so I just stopped looking at it. And there was plenty of opportunity with everything else. Soybeans. I said I would go over a few trades here on soybeans. Now, the big grain report came right here, 12. All right. I'm sure from here, 12 to 1201 over here was all in a minute. You probably couldn't trade any of that, so I won't bother with it. 1201 to 1202, still a lot of stuff. You could have jumped in, but I'm sure it was, the Dom would have been really hard to follow. But let's just look at what's happened since then, okay, since it slowed down. It's been tanking pretty regularly here, and we'll say we start at 1205. 1205. We have, this is our trend line all the way up. Black line got up above here, so you're not looking to short right there. Let's move over here. We don't have any divergence to support the trade. I'm just going to go when we have divergence to support the trades. All right, there's a little bit here, so you could have... This would have been your trend line right here. This was a down close. You could have gotten short right there, taken some profit. There's a little bit of divergence here, bearish divergence. So in this case, you would have been short. Actually, the black line moved up above before you got the down close, so there would have been nothing there. The next opportunity comes right over here. Okay. We have our bearish divergence down here. So you're looking for that right there. The down close is there. The next one, you're looking for this. So when I say the down close, I mean that bar right there is where you would have shorted. This bar right here is where you would have shorted. This bar right here is where you would have shorted. So if you just take a look at those spots right there, not bad places to take a trade. Your drawdown might have been 2 ticks on any one of those trades, and the profit, well, if you would have gotten in here and you would have gotten filled had you put your order on there because it drew down 2 ticks, you're looking at 13.60.50, and it dropped down to 13.56. So that's 4.5 cents. 4.5 cents is what, $225 a contract right here. This one was 57.25, and that dropped down to 54.25. That's $150 a contract right there. And this one was 55.5, and it dropped down to 51.5. That's $200 a contract right there. Those three moves, what was that, 250, 150, and 200. That's $400, $500, $600 a contract right here in this move. And that was tradable. And that was tradable. What it's doing right now, it's recovering some of that. Let's see, over here, after you get the bullish cross, you would have drawn your trend line like that to start with. Then you got that wick, so your trend line would have gone like that. Then you got this wick, so then you got to just get rid of this whole trend line and draw a new one. From here, that would have been your trend line. This would have been the up close. You're just about out of divergence down there. So if you wanted to just jump in, right there is the spot where you would have jumped. Over here, right here on this up close at 66. And, you know, just so you can see what's currently happening, this would be the trend line right there. The up close above that trend line. There's just a tiny bit of divergence here. There's not a lot of room for the green line to run into the cycle. So, you know, this swing high right here might be all you get, not too much more. You see the green line is into the cycle right here. So I wouldn't anticipate too much more from this right at the moment. But that's the trade right there. Okay? All tradable. Now, the thing that we hadn't done... Brad, did that just answer your question, Brad? I just noticed over there your question. You wouldn't have bought right here because it didn't hit. So you would have had to wait for the close up above the trend line. And you see right now it's pulling back. As I said, I wouldn't expect too much more out of this right here because the green line was into the cycle. 12.17 over here. No, that's 12.23 over here. This one. No, because you had red on the red here. Okay, so you wouldn't have bought right here. The way that the trend lines would have been drawn on this one, originally you would have been drawing it down like this. You would have been looking for an up close above that trend line. You got a down close above the trend line. Okay, so as soon as you get that, then you have to adjust the trend line to the wick of that bar. So it goes over like that. Then you have this wick. You still don't have an up close above the trend line. You have a new wick. And then it goes up like that. So once you get the trend line flat like that, then you don't have a trend line to draw. So you have to use the next one, the next wick right there. Okay? Like that. And then you would have gotten in right here. Okay? If you look at the big picture of this move, and I'll do this really quickly. Oops. Drawing tools. I'll do this. Here we go. The big picture of this move. We're at a 50% retracement right here. And this is kind of topping action that we're seeing on a 4-tick range. So I would be careful about going long too much more in here. All right, you see how the green line's all over the cycle. The cycle's bullish and headed up. But it's at a point where it's possibly just going to roll over right here in the middle. Just wanted to point that out for you all. The entry on that trade would have been right here at 13.6601. And you just watched it go up here to 13.68 for a possible 2-cent gain. That 2-cent gain is equivalent to 2 points. And you guys know that we talk every day about if you can make 2 points, then that's all you need. Could I draw the trend lines only on the body of the candle? Without taking into account the wicks, you could, but I don't want to. The wicks are what make the trend lines, they actually have a lot of value. okay? If you have a wick, that means price attempted to get up to a certain area and there were sellers there and they just pushed it right back down. Or it attempted to get down to a certain area and there were buyers and they just pushed it right back up. So the wicks are important. Okay, you have to count the wicks. The yen. This is my first day trading the yen in the live trading room, I think. It's wick to whatever. It might be wick to wick. It might be wick to body, depending on what the next candle is. Like this one right here, if I were drawing a trend line down right here, I would be drawing it from this wick down this body, because that's just the way that it came together. Okay. The yen. This is the first time we traded the yen in the live trading room this morning, so I was a little hesitant, you know, for my first trade or two, because I didn't really know what to expect from it as far as follow through. But turns out the yen has a lot of follow through. Our first trade was right in here. We looked for the up close above this trend line that I had drawn from wick to wick. You see there's a little tiny wick on there. I was looking for the up close above that trend line. We had good bullish divergence here, but we had some red on the cycle, so I couldn't just take the up close off the BBC. All right. If we go back to my picture, you guys sick of my picture yet? You get your bullish cross, your space in between, you pull back and test to the BBC with the up close with divergence. Now, in the picture, you see there's blue right here. Right here, there's red on the cycle. So in that particular spot right there, we wanted to see some confirmation by closing above the trend line. Okay, and we got long right in there at 214. And I had put my target right up here at the swing high. That's where I got out of it. All right, because I really didn't know what to expect from it. But you can see that it went all the way up here. I don't know, Frank, how big was this move, Frank? Money-wise, it was like $350 or something like that, this first move. And then it pulled back down here, and we had the same kind of scenario down here. Okay? If you look back at the picture, again. Sorry, I keep doing this, but I keep showing the picture to really make it firm in your mind that we're doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And if you can look at a picture like this, and you see the same thing happen over and over and over again, and you can... And this picture is of crude oil, okay? We're doing the same thing on the yen right here.
Paint by numbers, trade by numbers.
That's it. It's just the same thing over and over and over again. We tested the BBC. Now, when we tested the BBC and we got the up close, we had the red right here. So we really needed to get some confirmation by a close above the trend line, all right? I had drawn the trend line in. You stop drawing the trend line when price hits the BBC. Okay, then you just have to wait for it to close above it or wait for it to drop through the BBC. In this case, it came down, it tapped the BBC, it went sideways a couple bars, and then it closed above it. And I got long on that up close right there. And we were anticipating the green line is going to work its way up into the cycle. That gives you some range on the trade. Okay, that's what it did. And we took some profit over here once it went through it. Okay, once it hit the cycle, we took some profit. It kept going. There was more follow through than we had anticipated. But it was really a nice trade. The next one that we took over here on the yen was a close down below this trend line. If I bring my picture back up, you'll see the same thing. The bearish cross, the pull away, attempt to pull back to the BBC. We had bearish divergence. It didn't hit the BBC, so I drew the trend line. Is this starting to sound familiar to you guys? I'm saying the same thing over and over and over again. It's because I'm doing the same thing over and over and over again. So we got short on the down close below that trend line. And we took profit when it came down here toward the swing low and the dynamic support. Okay, I had a feeling it was going to get through the dynamic support because we had a long way to go with the green line to the cycle over here. So it did break through the dynamic support. And then we ended the morning session. And at the close of the morning session over here, I had drawn this trend line in, and this bar was painting. And I said, and I think everybody that was in there still at the end of the morning session will agree. I said, we need a close down below that trend line. A close down below that trend line would be a good spot to short. And you can see the close was right there at 1122.4, or 1122.24 is what I mean. It did pull back about 5 ticks, right, up to 22.9. Yeah, pulled back about 5 ticks, and then it dropped all the way down to 207. I believe that that is 7 plus, I don't know, I thought it was 17 ticks. Yeah, 17 ticks, I believe. 17 ticks on the yen is the equivalent of just a little over 4 points on the ES. Okay? Again, guys, we say over and over and over again, if you can just get 2 points a day, then, you know, if you can consistently make 2 points a day, then you can, you know, you can pretty much write your own ticket. In this case right here, we made 6 ticks here. We made 11 ticks total on the yen. Clearly, we left a lot on the table, but this last one right here would have put us up, you know, I don't know. It depends how I exited the trade. You know, if I was looking for an exit, I probably would have exited the trade right here at the swing low. Okay. I probably wouldn't have taken too much out of that. But anyway, so that's it. On the morning, we ended up plus 11 ticks on the yen, plus 1 on the oil, plus 10 on gold, plus 1 on the Russell, for a total of $257.50, excluding commissions, and that puts us on the... Today's the 8th trading day, is that right? 8th trading day? For us, anyway, right?
Yes, 1, 2, 3. Correct.
Yep. And we're up $1,550 a contract in 8 trading days. So that's almost the equivalent of 4 points a day, ES. Okay, and that's just trading the first 2 hours. That's trading a whole bunch of markets. That's trading while answering a whole bunch of questions. You guys should be able to do better than that. Not that you should make a goal of, you know, making 8 points a day. But if you're trading a single market and you're really focused on that single market, then you should be able to do better than what I do. Okay, if you were trading just gold this morning for the first half an hour, you could have pulled in that whole $1,500 per contract in gold this morning. That's it. I'm gonna stop my recording here. Okay, I see you. I just saw your text there, Dwayne. All right, I'm done. Recording is stopped.
All right, guys. Again, take advantage of the free trial. Go to cfrn.net/apply. Be sure to check out the blog. Lots of great stuff there. Charts, podcasts, articles, you name it. If you need some help with getting your chart set up, call toll-free 866-928-3310. Get that data flowing, get the charts charting, the indicators indicating before the weekend starts so that you'll have a couple days to hang out with the charts. You'll be ready when the trading room opens Monday morning at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Remember, no credit card required. You'll be in the trading room with us for 5 full days next week. Your journey begins by pointing your browser to cfrn.net/apply. Don't go away. We'll be right back with David Williams from PageTrader.com.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310. And we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Morning, Dwayne.
David, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Dave.
Good. Well, I don't know if Robin's here, but it really is a beautiful day in
today.
Las Vegas.
Yes.
Let her know.
That's good to hear.
Is she here today?
No, she's not with us today.
Okay. Well, it is a beautiful day in Las Vegas. for some reason, that always strikes me as funny. I don't know what is funny about that, but it just strikes me as funny.
Yeah. It's kind of the opening line on, like, every news show in the world, pretty much.
Maybe that's what it is. You
know, morning
Maybe
radio
it's the
shows,
genericness of
TV
it.
TV shows. It's a beautiful day in Boston. It's a beautiful day in Chicago. It's a beautiful day in New York. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a nice way to start the day.
Maybe,
as opposed
yeah.
to it bites, it blows, this is horrible. Yeah. You know.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's Friday. We've gotten through a whole – this is really the first full week since everyone's right. back from the big vacation from Christmas and New Year's. And the markets really have shown. We've had some big volatility both weeks, decent volatility this week in the S&P, not huge, certainly big in the last week. And we can go over anything you want. I don't know if there's anything interesting in the news today. Other than the usual reports for commodities and those kinds of things, was there anything outstanding?
No, not that I said. The only big news is that I'm on a short leash today.
Okay,
I have to go to a meeting. So I don't know if you heard that when I mentioned it earlier, but I hate to do it,
Excellent,
but it was one of those days when I just like the other day when you had your deliveries, I got my thing.
Yep.
And I just
absolutely no yeah. problem at all. Well, if you however you want to go here, do you want to just we'll just get right to it and run through them real quick?
Yeah, I think we need to just jump on in
sure.
there and cruise through these markets, and then Monday we'll have plenty of time and we'll take a leisurely stroll through every financial neighborhood, and we'll still answer some questions today, guys. So if you have a question on a market as we move through them, by all means, type it in. David will be happy to answer it, or I will.
Or Dwayne, yep.
Yeah. So, where you want to start?
Okay, well, good. Let's start with the S&P, because we always start with the S&P. Let's take a quick look. I don't have a lot to add to our overall picture that we've painted so many times, but we might as well talk about it just for a moment here anyway. Over the long haul picture, we're still bullish on the S&P, and have been since January, in our report anyway, since January of 2012, looking for continued higher prices. And the big picture of putting aside the ordinary and usual declines that do occur in the market, barring the usual declines, we do expect higher prices and a test or attempt into the 1515 or higher level prior to the ending of the larger decline. Oh, excuse me, the larger advance that began several years ago. When that occurs, and you know, we talked about this yesterday, I'll just be brief about it. When we do get to the point where we see the 1500s, that is the warning sign. That'll be the early warning signal that we're getting closer to a very important market top. So just keep that in mind. That's how we're going to work the numbers. Now, having said that, overnight today and possibly during the trading session, what was our high today in the session?
Today the high was.
Was it 67? 50?
It was 68 1/4. Oh no, that would be this candle here. 67.50. Yeah.
Okay. So during the Globex, they reached, we had a target above yesterday's 70/72, which is relatively important. They tested that and have reversed off that level into the pit traded session. So our bias at this point, short term, meaning just on a multi-day basis, is likely to the downside with the completion of that test. So, you know, there's going to be more important trades. Today it's relatively quiet here. We had actually a pretty nice trade earlier today based upon selling up at the 65.75 level or so, and we had a nice decline. They just completed a second decline from that same level, 66 or so. And but we're seeing this very, very quiet type of behavior, which you have to make a decision, each person does, whether or not this is something that works for them, you know, this kind of quiet trading. So let me think if there's anything else that I'd like to add to the S&P. Probably not, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a day or so decline off of this high here. I wouldn't be surprised to see that. It's not an outright forecast, but that's my feeling is that we're probably going to have a move down from here. And we'll take it up a little bit more seriously on Monday when we may, in fact, have a roadmap or two come out, depending on market conditions and so on. So we'll move quickly through this. You'll be out of there in no time, Dwayne. We'll zip right through this.
On the daily chart of the S&P 500, you can see that, guys, we're still pressing up against the top of this ascending price channel. We gapped up into it the first trading day of the year, and we've just been walking our way up. We've got, you know, a couple red candles in here, but a steady move higher. Any breakout above this, the top of this price channel here, that would really be significant. And until we do, then there's always, you know, the chance that we're going to retrace. This channel is 70 points wide. So just a simple 50% retracement of this move here would bring us back 35 points. So, I mean, the fact that we have now taken out this high from September and this high from October, that's significant, but we're still within the constraints of the price channel. So let's see what happens. And today, this 65, 66 weekly zone, I think that's going to be resistance for the remainder of the session. I may be wrong, but we'll see. That's my take on the S&P. That's all I got.
Okay, let's move over to the gold market. Wonderful gold.
It's a roller coaster. People. 20 bucks up yesterday and 20 down today.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of action in gold. There's no question about it. we are really just, this is just an extension of what we had originally talked about. About a week or so ago, we'd forecast a January 4th bottom for gold, and we were looking for an advance to 1670 and change. They've got there, and the market has tested that level and now has reversed off of it. So it is interesting where we are with gold, because there we are, as I mentioned yesterday, and I'll be very brief with this, we are looking for a bottom in gold in January. So we'll keep that in mind. I think that's the best way to think about it right now. I could go into some short-term setups and so on, but I don't want to take the time today. We'll wait until Monday.
Well, that was one of the questions in the chat room, is if you think, it was the same question as yesterday, if you think the bottom is in yet for gold.
Let's save that for Monday.
Okay.
Let's just save that. I appreciate the question, of course,
sure.
Hold it till Monday,
okay.
And I will give it the full dose on Monday. so today we'll cut it short. We'll just try to zip through this and get the basic ideas that we have for markets across, and maybe that'll be helpful. As you know, in the U.S. Treasury bond market, we don't talk about trading this very much, but it's a very important market in so many different ways. So sometimes I think it's important to look at it. You know, we have a forecast for a week of January 7th bottom. This is the week of January 7th. It's likely that the low came last week when the January 4th or whatever the forecast was for the bottom, I think it was January 4th, came in. And that indicated that it would be a one-week early bottom, because it had a daily bottom coming in on the one-week early. So that means that we think bonds, we were telling our institutional clients yesterday that they could buy the bonds at 144.16 to 144.14. If they touch those levels, they should be in the bond market. Go take a look today. And some of them I know are listening. The market went down to 144.11, just slightly through that, and now they're trading at 145. So we have a nice lead in the position for people who are taking these trades. These are, if you would like to be, just for people who might want to know, for those of you who may be trading bigger, if you want to be an institutional client, you can give us a call at 888-231-4702. We have kind of a special program for people who are institutional, meaning that they are either very, very large day traders, or they actually are professional, licensed, and are looking to trade their portfolio. So keep that in mind. Anyway, so with regard to the bonds, we think there's a multi-week advance that's due in the bonds. And so the purpose for today's buy in the bonds was to take an initial position from those levels, the 144, 16 to 14, and we're going to be trying to hold those into next week and the week after, if we can, for further advance. So keep that in mind. We'll move on from this. I'm going to try to save all my extra comments for next week. The euro, this turned out to be the, in a sense, a home run type of a trade because we had a, again, January 4th bottom. We talked about this so many times, the importance of that date. And the market has had just a tremendous, this is one of those trades where, to be honest with you, most people that are traders would have trouble holding on to tremendously large gains without just running for the hills, because it's actually gets to be frightening after a while, because emotionally you wouldn't be able to, you picture in your own mind that you wouldn't be able to hold those types of gains. If the market, in other words, if the market started to pull back, that would hurt you emotionally, and you don't want to go through that. So you end up saying, well, I'll take my profits now. And this market, I believe, will tend to want to top out on January 14th, which is Monday. So we've had a very powerful directional breakout, every type of move imaginable with this. And this, of course, sends the dollar lower. So, either a person could be trading the dollar short or the euro long. We took it from the position of having a January 4th bottom and then this continued advance. This whole advance, not that we're trading this in it or in it right now, but the whole advance is basically from 130 up to almost 134, which is a very, very powerful move in the euro. Okay, and we'll zip past that. You'll see how fast I can get through this. Stay with me here. crude oil, this is a market that we just completed the first leg of a roadmap for the market to move up from roughly the 85 level up to 95 and touch 95 in January. They've done that. Yesterday's high was 95.16. We've gotten an awful lot of calls about what the next stage is and what do we do with it. We're going to save that for Monday, so don't fret about it. There are some people that are already playing with the short side of this. Just understand that if you are, that you're slightly ahead of the curve, but we are calling for, aside from the roadmap, we are calling for a top in the crude oil market this week. So that would mean that the week of January 7th, which would be a bottom in the bonds, a top in crude, that this would be, we're very close to a very important juncture on the upside. So I think there's no doubt that we've seen some dramatic increase in volatility, which we forecast late in December, that you would see a dramatic increase in volatility in a number of markets starting in January. And we have definitely seen that in crude. We've seen it in the bonds. We've seen it in the euro. We've seen it in the S&P. And I think we're going to continue to see big volatility. And I told you I had a dream the other night where Hugo Chavez was, his face was floating in front of me, and he was telling me to go short. And that's why I'm on the radio now saying, but I try not to trade off of my Hugo Chavez dreams. But there is something going on with Hugo Chavez and his health, and it would not be difficult to imagine that or anticipate some news perhaps related to his health. Either he gets really much better and he comes jumping out and is driving in front of his throngs of admirers on a unicycle, or he dies. And one of those two things could happen, and that could have a very important effect on the crude oil market. And I believe that whatever it is, it's going to be very powerful news. The upcoming move in the crude oil market is not going to be likely non-news related. Like sometimes there are big moves that you can't really relate to news. People struggle to find it. I don't think that's going to be the case with crude. Okay, so we'll move on past that. We'll go into more detail about the whole setup. If you have questions, save them for next week so that we can
I want to allow Dwayne to get out of there and take care of his business, and then we'll have all the time to luxuriate in all of the markets, as he said. And then finally, let's see, there's a couple other ones here. We talked about the dollar. The dollar's had a tremendous move down in concert with the euro going up. I recently bought a Japanese product, a product that is actually manufactured in Japan, and it's more expensive than products made in China that are essentially the same, except perhaps not made as well. They have lead and other poisonous materials in them. You know, everything from China hurts you in some way because they have so lax regulation. But the reason the Japanese product is more expensive is because of the Japanese yen and the U.S. dollar, and it causes the price of the product to be more expensive to import. And so that's, again, why all the car companies went on to building plants out here, because that import, that dollar-yen conversion thing, was killing them. And so for them to compete and so on. Well, we're seeing this in other products as well. And so I think it's probably fair to say that products made in Japan are, I mean, going to be better quality than most products that are made in China, at least for a while. China has long ways to catch up.
Japanese products had that same stigma many, many years ago.
They did. When you and I were in junior high and high school,
yep.
Japanese products were a laughingstock,
mm-hmm.
because they copied everybody and they didn't do a good job. Now everyone tries to emulate the Japanese. And might I even add the Koreans at this point.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you've driven a Hyundai lately or taken a look at their sales, but they sell more than 500,000 cars a year. They are a terror to other car companies. Hyundai is the scariest thing that has happened to the automobile industry in 50 years. Hyundai. Not Honda. Hyundai.
Yeah. No, it's a good – they make a good car.
They are just – killing it, and they are ripping past, creating trends. It's frightening. You know, if you were in that industry, this is a company that is just driven. You know, these Koreans are really doing an amazing job. And, you know, to be honest with you, at this point, if a person wants to go out and buy a car, you know, you can, there's American, there's all these different kinds of cars you can buy, but when a company comes out and says, we're going to warranty our car for 10 years, and there is a caveat to it because 5 years is there, and then there's an extended period with some other stuff, but it is a 10-year warranty. There are cars from Germany with German engineering that to this day still are 3 years, 60,000 miles or something like that. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. You know, you guys are supposed to be the best engineering in the world, and by the way, they're not. They are not. German engineering is not the best engineering in the world by a long shot. I can tell you from personal experience, they are not. But they have that that whole thing, but they won't warranty their cars like the little Korean people will. Now, will they? So the Koreans have broken open a number of areas, broken through a number of areas like the warranty on cars and others, and the quality and all kinds of things that have really made a tremendous dent in the auto industry. And they don't know what to do with these guys. Somebody needs to stop them, if that's what they're saying.
I'm pretty sure you aren't supposed to call them the little Korean people.
Oh, I don't mean it quite that way. But, I mean, the lowly Korean, you know, just the little country that wasn't doing much, and now here they are, you know, just smashing these. You know, they have a car. I'll stop on cars, but I just want to tell you something. Go take a look at Hyundai's lineup. It starts from the smallest car, you know, builds all the way up, and for quite some time, they had, you know, their best car was whatever their, I forgot the name of it, but then they came out with the Genesis, which was their version of a Lexus four-door, nice middle range, you know, $55,000 to $65,000 Lexus, and they were selling it for $38,000 to $42,000. And it had all the features, all the quality, a better warranty, and it was just fabulous. Now they've come out with a car that emulates the Mercedes S-Class. Well, that is a truly astonishing thing to even try to do, and yet they've done it, and they're selling those cars, and they're going to, and it is a very, very good car, and it's $20,000 to $35,000 less than an S-Class, and you get all the stuff that the S-Class people love, you know. Anyway, it's an astonishing company, and it's an astonishing growth. They've been around for a long time. I remember Jody, who you met, Dwayne, mm-hmm. Many, many years ago, worked for me in a company here in Las Vegas when we were all young. I was maybe 23, 25 years old, 27 years old, and she was driving a Hyundai back then in 1984, 1985. So Hyundai's been around for a while. So they had been kind of just moving along, and then their management changed, something happened, and the company's been on a tear. So if you're looking for an automobile, you might want to check out what Hyundai has to offer, because they're making some – I've driven a number of their cars for Jody. I leased a Hyundai Sonata Turbo several years ago. It's been just a fabulous car. Check it out. It may be something that is worth. Now, listen, I like to buy American too, and I happen to drive American car, but you know, it's up to you. You know, check around. There's a lot of good options out there, and many of these cars are made in America now, so you are buying American. So there you are. All right, we'll move on from that. Don't get me started on cars,
okay?
Because you know I love them. Okay. You know, most of these things that I'm looking at here, Dwayne, we can save. You know, the Cocos and we'll save all this till a Monday here because I think that's probably a better idea.
Okay.
To do. Why don't we do that? We'll save it.
Okay.
I'm just going to mention on corn. This isn't something that we forecast that corn would move down over the last. I think it's been about 6 or 7 weeks. We've been talking about corn going down and testing $6.76, that they needed to do that. And normally they would have done it on the week of December 31st. They finally got to it on the week of January 7th. They got down to 6.78, and that was the low, and they reversed off that level. We did not issue a trade off of the 6.76 or 6.78 completion. Had they touched 6.76, closed above it or something, we may have done something with it. But as I mentioned, I thought that this market, once they completed the 6.76 level, which by coming within 2 cents is effectively completion, by doing that, I felt it was likely that the market was going to revert back to a normal, more volatile type of trading, because it had been very quiet and very choppy over the last. And this week has been just that. They have rocketed up very nicely. If you take a look at corn, they've had some nice move up off of the January 7th 6.78 low, and they are moving up here. So we're starting to see the volatility we talked about. I believe this volatility is going to stay for a while. If you're going to trade this year. If you can't trade the year, trade the first 6 months of this year. If you can't do that, trade the first quarter of this year, because there is going to be impressive, I believe, continuation of this volatility. And with that, Dwayne, I'll bid you adieu, and everyone else, you can scoot along, take care of your business, and I'd like to wish everybody a wonderful and safe weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday, and we'll have a more extensive look at everything with you.
Okay, David.
That good?
That sounds good. Thank you so much.
Aren't you proud of me? Look how fast I got through that.
You did a great job, man. Thanks
so
much. That's amazing. I hope you have a nice weekend. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. You too, Dwayne, and I'll talk to all of you on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend.
All right. Bye-bye now.
See you then. Bye-bye.
I didn't notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you. Every day's a new day in love with you.
Okay. Wrap it up, guys. Look what's happening right here on the S&P 500 E-mini futures. I drew that little trend line for you just as a visual aid. So remember we talked about backing into the garage there. You know, can you just see that? It just kind of backs in to this resistance area. And now I drew a trend line. I just connected these two bottoms of the hourly candles. I said if we get below that, then that's just a visual aid to help you see that the market is continuing the move down. Okay? So I'll leave this chart up and running for a bit so that you can keep an eye on it if you'd like. Also, for those of you that are new, I really want to encourage you to go out to the blog. And to go to the blog, it's really quite simple. From any page at cfrn.net, up here on the top, click eMini Radio Blog. That will take you to this page, which is sort of a table of contents. So all the different, you know, goes back, and we have an archive site with even more. But what you want to do from this page is just click View Recent Posts. And what that will do is it will put the most recent post right at the top. And then as you scroll down, you'll see post after post after post. Each day, there is an accompanying podcast. If you click the headphones, you'll be able to listen to the show. You can also subscribe to the podcast via iTunes. This way, you never miss a show. Just automatically, it goes to your iPhone or iPad or whatever iDevice you happen to use. Last night's blog post, we talked about something new that we're going to do. I want to mention it really quickly. It's called Traders Stories. CFRN has been the go-to podcast and live daily broadcast for e-mini futures traders since 2005. Tips, strategies, indicators, forecasts, theory, discussion, interviews, live trades, free trades. We are the audio solution to the e-mini trading equation. We have guests like David Williams, who is just with us each day, Mr. Mike Reed, the Trade Stalker, Bert and Leslie from Daniel's Trading, Robin Dane, the Trading Coach, Ben Lichtenstein from Traders Audio, the occasional special guest, okay? But I want to hear your story, okay? We're on a quest to build the world's largest audio library of individual trader stories. Traders from all backgrounds, all walks of life, we're going to give you the opportunity to record, share, and preserve the story of your trading career. Now, this is more than tales of hedge fund wizards. Many of you have probably read that book, Stock Market Wizards, or whatever that book is, the wizard book. You know the one I'm talking about. All right. These are tales of real people. Not that those aren't real people, but I just mean ordinary people, people like me and you, okay? Ones that aren't going to end up in that wizard book. But we have a story, and I think it's worth telling. Your level of success or otherwise in the market, it's not important. That's not why I think you should tell your story. The fact that you, just the sheer fact that you stepped into the arena and squared off against this big thing, called the market. I believe that makes your story not only worth telling, but I think it makes it worth preserving for generations to come. So I want to invite you to participate in Traders Stories. They'll not only be archived here at CFRN, they will become a part of the Internet Archive. You can become a part of history. If you want to schedule your interview, we'll do it by phone, over the Internet, at your leisure. We'll set up a time and a day. And I won't interview you. I won't grill you. I won't poke you and prod you. I'll give you 5 minutes or 50 minutes to tell your story, whatever your story is. The good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. And then it'll be archived as an MP3. And those things have a shelf life, so far, as best we can tell, of forever. So think about that. 25, 50, 100 years from now, somebody may be listening to your story. And if you could speak to your future self 100 years from now, what advice might you give them? Give it some thought. Send me an email at archive@cfrn.net and schedule your interview today. In the meantime, be sure to take advantage of the free trial. It really is free, no credit card required. You can download the platform. You can use our indicators for a full week and hang out with us in the live trading room 2 hours a day all next week, Monday through Friday. To do that, go to cfrn.net/apply. All we need is your name, your email address. We don't need to know your mother's maiden name or the street you grew up on. We're pretty simple. All right? I hope you have a great weekend. By the way, it is the weekend, so be sure to spend some quality time with your family. Of course, I'll see you all in church on Sunday. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.